Best of Times Radio Hour live on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel, a show dedicated to seniors and boomers in Northwest Louisiana. Here's your host, Gary Kaligas.
Good morning, radio listeners. I'm Gary Kaligas, the publisher of The Best of Times, the only magazine and radio show for mature adults in Northwest Louisiana. Do thank you for tuning into our show today, and also thanking those who might be listening via the internet at www.710keel.com. Also thanking those who might be listening via the Keel application on their Apple or Android devices. We also thank those who might be listening to this radio show via podcast on our friends at Apple Podcast, as well as visiting the bestoftimesnews.com website to download previously broadcast radio shows. In just a few minutes, we're going to learn about helpful advice about food and nutrition to help one live a healthier and happier life. So stay tuned to the show for some very beneficial information for you and your loved ones. It is Saturday, July the 12th, and we are broadcasting our show from the studios of News Radio 710 Kiel, a Town Square media station here in wonderful Shreveport, Louisiana. However, today's show has been pre-recorded, so we will be unable to accept call-in questions and comments from our loyal radio listeners. Be sure to pick up the July-August issue of The Best of Times at one of our 280 distribution locations. We thank you for the many compliments about our magazine. We do appreciate hearing from you. Remember, if you're unable to find a printed copy, to pick up free of charge at one of our 280 distribution locations, you can always visit our website at thebestoftimesnews.com to view both current and past issues of our magazine. There's been over 16 years of our magazines on our website, past issues. In addition, you can listen to previously broadcast radio shows and, of course, view and download the 2025 Silver Pages Senior Resource Directory. Each and every month, The Best of Times sends out a newsletter via e-blast over 73,000 email addresses of seniors and boomers in Northwest Louisiana. It provides them with links to read our current issue online, also our current Silver Pages. In addition, there are more educational articles that are not found in The Best of Times magazine. So it has a lot of more additional information and more content that can benefit you and your loved one. Join the many thousands of receiving this free newsletter just by visiting our website, thebestoftimesnews.com, to subscribe free of charge by giving us your email address, and you'll be receiving this newsletter each and every month. Great news, our friends at Ernest Orleans has brought back the Best of Times special dinner each and every Thursday from 4:30 p.m. to closing, with fabulous meals at a highly discounted price, along with, of course, entertainment and free valet parking. It is highly recommended due to the popularity of this Best of Times Thursday night special dinner at Ernest Orleans to make advance reservations by calling 318-226-1325. Again, that's 318-226-1325. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to The Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Kiel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Tannin Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Kiel.
Welcome back to our show, The Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Tannin Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. Joining me on my radio show today is a special guest, is Miss Abigail McAllister, who is a registered dietitian and the regional coordinator with the LSU Ag Center in Northwest Louisiana region. And I've invited her on our show today to provide us with some suggestions on food and nutrition to help us live a healthier and happier lives. So, Ms. Abigail, welcome again to the Best of Times.
Well, thank you for having me today.
And also kudos, as I think everybody who's listening to this show knows, that Ms. Abigail is one of our featured writers in our magazine each and every bi-monthly issue, and has been doing this for many years. How many years now?
8 years.
Eight years. Of wonderful articles she has to come up with each and every time So that is a challenge, but it was a challenge when we were monthly, probably.
Yeah, it was a little more of a challenge. I had to count it up for my promotion packet, and I've written 101 articles for the Best of Times magazine.
Wow. Yes. We're so proud. Again, we put you kudos. It's widely read. You're very popular. You could probably run for mayor if you wanted to, or run for something. You're well known because everybody, no context, my wife Tina, the editor of the Best of Times, but also comments about, I learned a lot of new information about food and nutrition. So
though
we're a senior boomer magazine, I have had young people tell me that they have read that article.
Great.
And they've used it for them or their kids. So
great.
You have a lasting impact, not with the seniors, but others. So it's I never thought your articles were specifically for seniors. So, mm-hmm. But again, we appreciate you writing for us and adding additional informational content. So explain to our listeners, some people don't understand. They think the LSU Ag Center is only located in Baton Rouge, but no. Tell us about the Northwest region here.
Oh, I'd love to. So the LSU Ag Center is actually in every parish in Louisiana.
All 64?
Yes,
I didn't know that.
All 64. We have an extension office in every parish, and that's our extension branch where we take the research-based information from the university and we provide it to the public in the forms of agriculture. So you may know our horticulture agent who provides plant tips. We've got a forestry agent who can come look at your tree or look at pictures of your tree and tell you what's wrong. Row crops. And then we've got our 4-H program, which is what people mainly know us for,
yeah,
the 4-H office. And then I'm under the nutrition and community health sector, and we go out in the community and educate people on how to eat healthy. And in addition to that, we also have research stations scattered throughout the state where we have researchers on site doing agricultural research for farmers and anybody else who can benefit.
But you also have a website that people can go get additional information about,
yes,
various topics, right?
Absolutely, lsuagcenter.com.
And then you can also call the offices and,
yes,
and seek you or seek other experts there that can help them either on the phone or possibly make an appointment, et cetera, right?
Yes, correct.
So, I mean, that is a unique. Do you think it's underutilized?
I absolutely think it's underutilized. And that's why we really make an effort to put our name out there and do things like this so everybody can know that this is for you. Most of our services are free. So you might as well utilize it. And, you know, if you need a soil sample kit to test the pH of your soil, stop by one of our offices. Or if you just need some gardening brochures or you need a little bit of general nutrition information, we have it for you.
So I'm not an expert in plants. I have my garden back there. So it's important to test the soil because if the plants aren't growing well, that may be the problem, right?
It may be related to that. That is correct.
Okay. So, again, all you gardeners out there, if you're not having success in growing those plants you buy from whatever and bring home and they die quickly, there may be the soil
involved. It might be the soil. Or it might not. You might not be watering enough if you're my house.
Uh-oh. That is true. So, again, I compliment you. And it's funded via our taxpayer dollars, right?
Yes, it is. So we might as well utilize this service.
And it's all in 64 parishes in
all
the area.
All 64 parishes.
Well, that's massive coverage area. So what are the typical questions or call-ins that your agents receive?
I think our office probably gets the most gardening and tree questions.
Tree questions.
Our forestry agent is housed in Bossier Parish, and that's one of my offices, and we get lots of tree questions up there. But we also get lots of general gardening questions depending on the season.
And so the LSU Ag Center also helps these farmers and,
yes,
other people out there to learn the latest about pests and et cetera, making their crops be better, right? Each and every
Absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely. And so most farmers know about the LSU Ag Center because they've utilized the resources, but it's for everybody in the community. So it's for farmers, it's for hobby gardeners, it's for anybody living within the parish.
And I'm hoping that more and more people do gardens. I mean, I know some neighborhoods are starting to do their community gardens. That was a big push many years ago, but I don't know. Has it increased?
I don't really think it's increased or decreased. I've kind of seen steady, and sometimes we'll put up a community garden, but you know, it may last one season, and it really takes a lot of community buy-in for community gardens
and community support in keeping it maybe watering, and they may not have water, so they may have to bring the water and nutrition to there, and also picking the, I mean, I've seen some gardens out in the area that looked like they were full of tomatoes, but nobody was seemed like being picking. They were all like dying on the vine. It was sad. Mm-hmm. It was really, really sad.
Yeah. So it takes a lot of community support. It's great when it happens. I mean, we've got that community support, but it definitely takes a lot.
So what I wanted you to come on the show today, Abigail, is to emphasize, give a little lanyard, give a little additional information of the articles that you had in the Best of Times. Because, I mean, many of them really touch my heart. Again, I always read them. I get to have advance notice because Tina lets me proof it before it goes to press. So I get to read your articles and I say, wow, that's some great ideas. And most of the times I implement them, I'll tell you. I implement a lot of the particular items. So I thought the July-August issue was really touching because I'm not the cook in the family. I'm the washing. I wash the dishes most of the times and do, but I may grill the steaks, but I'm not. Tina is, and her article talks about make culinary memories with your grandchildren. That was really touching, and we've done that. Tina's done that with our 6 grandchildren. They love it. So expand upon that.
I mean, it's just a great thing to involve kids in the kitchen, and I really think that it's something that we don't think about, especially if we're in the kitchen, they're running around the house, but it really is impactful. There's lots of benefits to it, especially during the summer when they're already on break. They may be a little stir crazy. It helps enhance their math skills because they're measuring.
Right.
Helps enhance their reading skills. Have them read the recipe to you. Helps learn about science. Food science is a whole field of its own. Food safety, how to clean up after yourself in the kitchen. And it also helps them sharpen up their fine motor skills, and that's really important in the summer when they're not in school, to help keep going and keep their mind sharp.
And also gives them, I think you read an article, to taste some things they might not have the opportunity before.
Yes.
To taste and try it out. They might have seen the whole platter, but now they can just have a morsel and see maybe their liking's better being forced into it, right?
Absolutely. And really, when you involve your kids in the kitchen, they're more likely to try a food that seems a little foreign to them. And it does take about 10 to 15 tries before a kid even tolerates a food. So don't give up if they don't like broccoli at first. Oh. But cooking with them really does help because they feel like they've had ownership in making the recipe, and they're more likely to at least try it.
And Abigail, you mentioned it doesn't mean elaborate meal. It may be maybe one particular item, like, you know, making a cake or making a pie or doing a vegetable casserole, correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It could be your favorite cookie recipe. It could be, I got a watermelon from the store. Can you help me cut it up? It could be as simple as that.
And everybody, if you listen to it, they're going to be gaining math skills. They're going to be gaining understanding cups and teaspoons and also the uses of utensils, especially knives, the danger of, and they got to watch themselves. So, they may be nervous, but it gives them the opportunity to learn how to use those particular instruments as well.
Absolutely.
And what about the use of the stove and the use of the oven? That also is an education for the for the young ones too.
It helps them more so respect the kitchen equipment. Because they actually get to practice with it, and they know the dangers of it, and they know how to use it, but they know that they need an adult when they work with those items too.
And I think it also gave our grandkids, when they were seeing Tina make certain things, an appreciation of how long it takes to make this particular item.
Yes.
And she told them how to make some Greek butter cookies, kudalakia they're called. It's a little bit, there's a lot of steps involved. It's just don't get the cookie stuff out of the freezer or out of Brookshire's or Kroger's. No, you have to make this from beginning to end. So but they love it now. They all look forward in those cooking making opportunities. I think the girls enjoy it more than boys, but the boys, our two boy grandsons, are enjoying. Do you see that better? Some boys don't want to get in the kitchen with mom or dad.
You know, I haven't. Actually, I've been very surprised because I do cooking camps every summer with children through the 4-H program. And you'd be surprised at how many boys are signing up for these.
Good.
And they have a lot of fun. And, you know, it's great life skills for anybody. Girls, boys, any age, stage. Cooking is always great to know how to do.
So what is your advice to our grandparents out there who have grandkids? How should they start this?
I would start simple. Maybe start with your favorite family recipe.
Oh.
Because you're passing on those traditions from your family, your family heritage. You're teaching
Great
something
idea.
That they can bring on to the next generations as well. So I would start with something simple, something you know. Don't pick a really complicated recipe you've never tried before, because then y'all will both be puzzled and your heads will be spinning.
No.
And don't be afraid to get messy. Because everything's fixable and everything's cleanable, and that gives them an opportunity to learn that, oh, I created this mess. Well, I can help clean it up too. So
good point. So again, the use of a recipe, even if it's an old family recipe, shows them instructions and procedures.
Yes.
And like, you know, I know that some grandparents don't even have it written down. It's like in their brain.
Yes.
But hopefully, when the child, I remember my father and my uncle made a certain type of recipe that they involved me, and I said, nobody's written this down? No. Well, what happens when you depart? So I made the diligent decision to write things down, and they were so appreciative that I wrote it out. I actually typed it up for them, and they tweaked it, and we added the little thing. So, you know, we have this Kaligas' secret recipe for making baklava, by the way.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And it's a very unique recipe, and people don't. The only thing Dad told me, don't share that unless they're really devoted people and they won't slip it on the right. So I've actually made it. And Tina knows that, but it's very sweet pastry. But that's one thing. It was never written before, but we decided to write it down one time when I made it with them when I was like, I don't know, 18 or 19 years old. And that was a long time ago. Okay, so the main Junith issue talks about nuts and seeds pack a big punch. So explain that to our listeners.
So nuts and seeds are one of those underutilized foods. We kind of forget about eating them, but they have fiber, they're good with those heart-healthy fats, and they're also full of protein. So they pack a powerful punch of those three items, as well as different antioxidants, and so they can really fill us over. They're a great snack, but we can also add them into our foods as well, our dishes.
So we can put those in salads.
Yeah.
and other types of the abundance overeating nuts and seeds, isn't there a particular problem in that sometimes?
Yeah, we can definitely overeat anything. too much of anything is not a good thing. So we always recommend about a small handful of nuts and seeds. And the reason why is because they're also very dense in calories. So they're not a light food necessarily. They're a healthy food and they're very nutrient dense, but they're also really heavy in calories. So eating too much of those can mean we're eating too many calories and lead to weight gain.
So in your estimation, in your advice, what is the most beneficial nuts or seeds that an individual should consistently put in their diet?
Well, that's a loaded question. I think they all have a slightly different nutritional composition, and they all have slightly different nutrient makeup. So one may have this certain vitamin or mineral, and one may have this one. So I would say eat a variety to make sure you're really getting all those different vitamins and minerals.
And the other thing I will tell you, I'm 75, but I think when I was in my early 60s, I used to love peanuts. And then according to Ms. Kaligas and my doctors, I got a peanut allergy.
Wow.
And late in life, you can get a peanut allergy.
Wow.
Did you know that? So you have to be careful if you start having certain type of bloating and certain conditions that's causing. None of the other seeds caused it except for the peanuts. So, so my doctor said, Carrie, that's why in some airlines they don't serve peanuts anymore, because people had so many allergic reactions to it, early age or late age. So you can get a latent activity. I mean, sometimes you might want to check yourself out, but I used to eat a big jar of peanuts on my desk in my offices, every office that I had. I mean, I would get probably a case of them, and everybody would come and snack out of my big jar of peanuts on my desk. So yeah, you got to be cautious. But I agree. They all have their pluses and minuses. But I do strive to eat as many as I can as well. Hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information. But now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bear Standing Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bear Standing Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. Joining me on my show today is a special guest, is Ms. Abigail McAllister, who is a registered dietitian and the regional coordinator with the LSU Ag Center in the Northwest region of Louisiana. Thank you again, Abigail, for joining us today. Abigail is a featured writer in the Best of Times for the past 8 years and written over 100-plus articles about nutrition and wellness and health and ways to eat well, cook well, and it's been a great impact on our many hundreds of thousands of readers throughout the Arklatex. And again, I compliment you for educating us and helping us live healthier and happier lives. So I think nutrition is the thing, right?
It is.
I mean, some of my doctors tell me what you eat is depending on how you feel or whether you're going to get sick or not, right?
Absolutely. It influences every part of our health.
So we're going and discussing some of the prior articles, because I love having guests on my show today that give me a little bit of rest of the story and a little lanyap here. So we've been talking about make culinary memories with your grandchildren, the benefits of that. That was the article in the July-August 2025 issue that just came out. And prior to that was the May-June issue of the Best of Times, Nuts and Seeds Pack a Big Punch. And then in her April and March-April issue had an interesting one, and a lot of people have probably asked you about this, was magnesium supplements.
Yes.
Have become popular. Why is this?
You know, it's one of those trendy things in nutrition. We always see new trends, and it's one of these trends. Now, there are some benefits to magnesium. It helps with sleep, helps with heart health, diabetes. But the thing about magnesium or any supplement or any mineral that we're trying to add more into our diet, we want to make sure we're not overdoing it, and we want to make sure we're consulting our doctor before we start anything new.
So is there any truth about the health benefits of magnesium?
Yeah, there are some health benefits. But like I said, it's one of those things that there's no cure-all pill. There's no one supplement or one mineral or vitamin that's going to fix all of our problems. What we really need to focus on is eating a balanced diet and getting those nutrient-rich foods.
Well, that article caused a lot of people to contact me and Tina, by the way. And you said, how did she hit on that? Because I've been discussing that with my doctor, uh-huh, and my health experts. And so it is trendy. I've been also
yes.
saw it quite a bit on the internet,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah. Oh, it's all over.
And so are there foods, tell the listeners, I think in the article, there are foods that have magnesium in it.
Yeah, right? There's a few out there. But like I said, it really, while we can focus on our supplements or our foods, if you're eating a general healthful diet, you are getting all of your magnesium within that diet as well. Now, there's some plant foods, there's some meats that have it. But again, like I said, if we're just filling our plate with healthy foods and having a balanced diet, lots of fruits, vegetables, lean meats, whole grains, low-fat dairy, if we're really making sure we fill our plate, then we're probably checking the boxes on most of those vitamins and minerals.
And some people that are taking multivitamins, like moi here, mm-hmm, it already has an
yes.
item, listing item. It says magnesium. It may not be a big percentage, but mm-hmm, at least it's giving you some
yes.
to supplement what you already have, right?
Yes, exactly.
So, again, I'm sure there's a medical test if you feel that you're lacking magnesium that you can get with your doctor,
mm-hmm,
correct?
Absolutely. Always consult with your doctor. Like I said, this is one of those nutrition trends, but your doctor has your whole medical history. So it's really important before we start any supplement to ask our doctor, because sometimes supplements may react with medications we're taking. They may interact with different you know, disease states we have or conditions we have. So it's really important to work with your doctor.
Good advice. But again, that was a really challenging article, made me think and many other people think about it. By the way, I did ask my physician, and he said, you know, based upon what any of your symptoms, I don't think you have a magnesium deficiency. But you're already getting it in your multivitamin. So I told him what multivitamin I had. So that was great. So the January, February, that was skipped a bunch, of 2025, dealt with a great topic, which I'm glad you brought up because I love sourdough bread. And why is that trending now?
You know, sourdough is one of those trends, but I would say I'd like to hop on this trend because sourdough bread does have some health benefits to it. It actually has a lower glycemic index than regular bread. So, you know, there are some benefits to it. Now, what I'll say is that doesn't mean we can eat a whole loaf of sourdough bread just because it has a lower glycemic index. But it is fun. A lot of people like it because it's a fun hobby. They have their starter. They can make different stuff with their sourdough starter and just kind of a fun homesteading hobby.
And, you know, since you've written this article, I have noticed in various grocery stores that there's more opportunities to buy sourdough bread. Before there wasn't. Even in the loaf forms.
Yes.
Before, I never saw that before. So Tina and I have been ordering some of that. We don't have time a lot to bake the bread. I love to do that, but buying the sourdough bread already made, and it has a difference, and I really enjoy that bread. So it's got a lot of, as you said, a lot of health benefits in eating regular bread.
Yes,
right?
Yes, that is correct.
So now that was a really good article, and the bacteria is good for you in the particular sourdough bread. Correct.
Now there is a little catch all to that one. So the sourdough, the dough itself, has that good gut bacteria because it's been fermenting and all that bacteria has been developing. But I took a lot of research into this because I was thinking about it already. Once you bake it, it's killing the bacteria. So you're actually not consuming the bacteria when you consume the sourdough bread because the oven kills the bacteria.
Oh.
But with that said, it still has a lower glycemic index. So
it's better. Yeah. It's better for you in a way.
Yeah.
Okay, then I thought this was interesting. We had in our September-October article, the MIND diet. Talk about that. That was interesting.
So the MIND diet is actually a collaboration of the Mediterranean diet and the DASH diet, and it has great brain health benefits to it. There's been lots of studies, especially on seniors, as far as the brain health benefits to it. And the reason that nutrition's really hard to study because getting a captive audience and following them with nutrition and, you know, you could say, hey, eat this meal, but what are they going home and eating afterwards?
Oh,
so it's
true.
Really tricky to study nutrition, but they studied the MIND diet in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, just by making the menu off of the MIND diet. And they saw a lot of great benefits in terms of, kind of delaying the progression of Alzheimer's and dementia or preventing it.
So do you teach the classes on the MIND diet?
I do teach a program that has the MIND diet incorporated, but I can also come to any group and just speak about the MIND diet as well.
That's good. So if your group wants to have her come, what's the phone number to call you if you don't mind?
318-965-2326.
Well, that would be a good educational presentation at a senior group or a church group, et cetera. Really,
absolutely.
Really, well, thank you for offering that.
Yeah.
So in July, August of 2024, you did an article about protein needs change as we age. Wow. So many older adults are not getting enough protein in their diet. And why is this?
You know, I taught a class back in the summertime with the Council on Aging, and I asked the seniors, hey, who's eating three meals a day? And I was kind of shocked how many hands were not raised. And so it is hard to get enough food as it is as you age. Maybe your appetite's diminished. Maybe you have trouble chewing, swallowing. And so it's already hard enough to eat enough. And maybe your taste buds have diminished. Maybe food's just not as exciting. So it is harder to get protein in our diets as we age. So we really need to make a concerted effort to eat more. Because as you age, you're at a higher risk for protein senior protein wasting, muscle wasting due to inadequate protein.
So that's the indication when they visit their doctors, they're not as muscle and lean. They need to get them more protein. And explain to our listeners, some of them hate to say this, may or may not know, what are some high protein foods?
So some high protein foods, obviously we always think about meats and fish and chicken first, but some things we may not think about, yogurt, milk, those have some good protein in them, fish, nuts, seeds, like we talked about, beans are a great source of protein as well. So thinking outside of the realm, if you're kind of getting burnout on those meats, but also, you know, there's, you can make drinks, smoothies, and incorporate a couple different components in there, whether you add milk and yogurt and maybe some nuts and seeds and blend it all together with some fruits, then you're getting more protein in that drink as well.
So it's important as we age to get this, to continue getting body mass and strength as well, correct?
Yes, and it really is important, like you said, to preserve your strength because it gets harder and harder as we age.
So as one senior told me, the grocery prices are getting higher. So what are some ways I can still get protein with a limited budget? So
that is a loaded question. But really, I mean, there's lots of great affordable protein sources. Check out the canned food aisle. There's lots of great canned beans, canned tuna, canned chicken. And some people may turn their nose up at it, but there's some great ways to doctor up those foods and make them taste really good.
I like that. Doctor up those foods. Okay.
I would usually say eggs are affordable. They're coming down a little bit.
They're quite good.
Yeah. When I talked to you last time, they were not affordable, but the prices are coming down. So that's a good affordable source of protein that we often don't think about. Drinking milk with our meals too. That's just a little extra protein added in there.
Okay, the last time we were on the show, yes, that was back in several months ago, you mentioned about eggs, which I learned something new. And I had somebody, I was at Walmart, and somebody recognized me, and I was getting eggs, and they were saying, "Gary, didn't you listen to your own expert?" I said, "What was that?" She said, "You don't have to buy all the one that says has all these extra egg value because they all have the same amount."
Yes, exactly. They all have the same nutritional value.
So tell our listeners again the helpful. And she remembered me and she remembered the show. Now, how is that coincidental?
Now, you know, you're experiencing what I experience often when I go to the grocery store. Someone's like, "Hey, how are you? Can I look in your cart?" So egg cartons, you may see things like free range, pasture raised, all these different marketing terms, but really an egg is an egg at the end of the day. There's not a giant nutrition difference between the two, so save you a few extra dollars.
Well, I think I asked you on the show, all those chickens that have these other special fed something different than the other chickens, and you answered no.
Yeah, not really. And chickens really eat anything, too. You can feed chickens anything, they're going to eat it. So it's hard to kind of pinpoint their diet versus all of that.
So, again, you have a lot of impact when people read the articles and remember, and then you're on my radio show and you mentioned that. So, you might want to write an article about that. I think that'll catch
eggs.
I might
pull in our poultry specialist. We have a poultry specialist in the Northwest region.
Oh, that would be a good deal.
During the egg crisis, I mean, they were blowing up his phone, but we could work together and write a good article about that.
And the differences between you said there's no differences, but the difference between the range eggs, the dark eggs, and the white eggs.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I had a simple question. I think I was going to ask you this. What makes the egg come dark or white? I mean, what is it? Is it the chicken breeding?
It's the chicken. It's the type of chicken.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know there's a special one.
There's all kinds of chickens out there. Go to our livestock shows and you'll see all kinds.
Oh, okay. So, so that, you know, the thing about it, sometimes I know that people want to get those marketing items. They raised the flag. And so, I mean, that lady was pretty smart when she remembered that. And you're right, Lamb. It'll save me about 50 cents or nine, whatever it was, 75 cents for that particular item, which it did. One other article that you had, it was a March-April issue, was safe handling of fresh fruits and vegetables. And, you know, I think that's a critical one because I've heard of people, especially with lettuce and a few other things, they're not washing and they're people have had some illnesses from it. So explain that a little bit more.
Absolutely. So when in doubt, always wash your fruits and vegetables. And it doesn't take much, just under some cold running water, scrub it good. That's all it takes. We don't need special detergent, special washes. Scrubbing that under running water is good. And sometimes we don't think about certain fruits or vegetables that we eat that really do need to be washed. For example, melons. A lot of people think, well, I'm not eating the outside of the melon, so that's not important to wash. You think about it, you take the knife, it touches the outside, and then it goes right inside and gets all the melon inside contaminated. So it's really important to wash the outside of your melons.
And also, it's been on the ground. It's been now in the Kroger and the Brookshire's and the Walmart store and floor. So it's gathering germs, et cetera. Wow. That is a helpful hint. So the other thing about refrigerate or don't refrigerate vegetables, I always had Tina tells me a lot of times don't refrigerate. But I like them. Sometimes I want them cold. I think they keep longer.
It depends. If you see it refrigerated at the store, that's a good telltale sign that you need to stick it in your fridge at home. If you have cut anything, it needs to go in the fridge. So I can put a watermelon on the counter at whole. I keep mentioning watermelons. It's watermelon season.
Yes.
But if I cut the watermelon, I need to store it within the fridge within 2 hours.
Okay.
Same goes for cantaloupe, honeydew, squash. You know, a lot of squash can stay out at room temperature if it hasn't been refrigerated at the store before. But once it's refrigerated, it needs to stay refrigerated.
So are there certain food groups are more susceptible to getting food poisoning than others?
I really haven't. I mean, you see it kind of trickle, all those different recalls. There's really not a certain fruit or vegetable. I mean, maybe sprouts. Sprouts are a really common high-risk food. Usually they, you know, tell certain susceptible if you're immunocompromised, just kind of stay away from sprouts. But that's really the only one I can think of. The others, just make sure you're washing.
And the last question, do you trust the companies when they said pre-washed, when they come in packages and they were already washed? Have they really washed them? Or should you still be cautious and do a quick rinse anyway?
Usually when it says pre-washed, they are pre-washed and it's good to eat. Now, if you are, you know, if you're immunocompromised, if you are taking certain medications that may diminish your immune system, it's not always it's not a bad thing to do an extra rinse before you eat it. It's never a bad thing to rinse it again.
It's not going to help. It's not going to hurt it.
No, right? It's not going to hurt anything.
I'll hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information. But now, a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Eberston and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Eberstown and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Kaligas, and I do thank you for taking time to listen to our show today. Joining me on my show as a special guest is Miss Abigail McAllister, who is a registered dietitian and the regional coordinator with the LSU Ag Center here in the Northwest region of Louisiana. I've asked her to come on our show to give us some suggestions on food and nutrition to help us live healthier and happier lives. So thank you again, Miss Abigail, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And everybody, I've already mentioned this several times, but I'll mention it again, is Miss Abigail is one of the featured writers of the Best of Times magazine. She has been doing this for around 8 years, right?
Yes, that's
correct. And written over 100-plus articles and to help our seniors and boomers and many others who read our magazine, and great articles. And by the way, she's got some even national accolades from our magazine. We compete in national organization of all 1,500 senior publications throughout the United States, and she has won some particular awards. There are very few of our magazines, but I get a lot of them, that include nutritional, and I promote them when I go to contact their local ag center with their different universities. And some have not, but very few, very few. And you would think that'd be a critical need. And a lot of people do read our magazine from those other locations and compliment us on us. And they said, we wish we could find somebody to do that. I said, there's bound to be somebody out there.
There's, in cooperative extension, it's in every state and in mostly every county in the nation.
Wow.
Yes.
So they should be able to find somebody.
Yes, yes.
They just don't want to take the time and effort sometimes. So, again, the LSU Ag Center sponsors a number of programs throughout the year. And an upcoming one, I want to get Abigail to talk about is the Summer Sourdough Saturday on July the 18th, at 11 a.m. So tell us a little bit about that.
So we are partnering with Courtney Butts, who is a local registered dietitian in the area. She has her own private practice, and she has a special skill set in sourdough.
Oh.
She's taught these classes throughout the city at different locations. And, you know, I've known Courtney for many years, and I said, hey, can you come to the Ag Center and teach one of these classes? And she was very excited to do so. So we are very excited to have her and do the sourdough class.
So in this particular class, you're going to be doing a starter. You're going to get a starter. You're going to have instructions how to maintain the starter. So what does that mean, maintain the starter?
So sourdough, they start with flour and water, certain proportions of it. They let it sit and ferment, and like we were talking about, with all that good bacteria. And then you use that starter to make different items, such as bread, crackers, pizza crust, all kinds of stuff. So each person who attends this program will get their own starter in a mason jar that they can stick in their kitchen and have. And once they got enough starter, they can make different items in their kitchen with it.
So there's a special starter. This is not just your ordinary bacteria you pull off the shelf, right? This is a special one. It's handed down from generation to generation. How do they get this, Abigail?
So Courtney made the starter.
Okay.
And it has taken her a long way. And so what she's done from that, she has pulled it and made other starters off of it.
Oh, okay. Regeneration of starters.
Yes.
Pretty good idea.
Yeah.
So you're going to have instructions on how to maintain your starter and probably how to expand upon it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get some demonstrations on sourdough, and they're going to get some samples.
So absolutely.
So again, it's going to be held at your location on East 70th, correct?
That is correct. The LSU Ag Center Caddo Parish office. In our kitchen, in the conference room.
On July the 19th at 11 a.m., and they need to call your office if they want to enroll, correct?
That's correct. The number is 318-226-6805.
So if you're interested in sourdough making, you haven't done it, or you want to learn some extra skills, you need to come there, and Miss Courtney Butts will be doing the education as well. That's good. Well, good luck on this particular program
Thank you.
So going back, we've been talking about some of the articles that have appeared in the Best of Times magazine. I thought this one was good in August of 2023, tips on healthy road trip. I thought that was cute. So everybody's on vacation. So what are the snacks that I should pack for my grandkids and myself and my wife when we go on trips?
Oh, you know, you got to have road snacks when you go on a road trip. Everyone, hey, do you have your road snacks ready? So aim for lighter snacks, because if you're thinking about it, you're on the way to vacation. You're probably going to splurge at your final destination. So we don't want to waste our food budget on some road snacks. We want to splurge on some fun dishes to wherever we're heading to. So aim for some lighter snacks. Snacks high in fiber, protein. If you're packing a cooler, you could do things like string cheese, yogurt, cut fruits and vegetables, hard-boiled eggs, or small sandwiches. But if you don't have a cooler and you're like, I don't want to pack anything else in this car, you could do trail mix, popcorn that's lightly salted, no butter, granola bars, nuts, whole wheat crackers, dried fruit, sunflower seeds, things like that stay good.
Well, that's good. And they're healthy snacks, too. And
yes.
You don't want to get too full, because you're going to be coming up to hopefully a good dinner wherever you're going to be staying the first night, or you're meet the destination as well. Okay, I love this one. June of 2022, she had an article, Mindful Eating Means Living in the Moment. So what does that mean?
So mindful eating is really taking a second and enjoying your food. So that means, you know, pausing, putting aside your phone, turning off the TV, really limiting your distractions and enjoying the food that's in front of you, and taking time to savor it and enjoy the flavors, the textures, you know, everything about it, the smells, the appearance of it, really enjoying what's in the moment.
Well, you know, and enjoying the ambiance, but also if you're going to be pairing it with a little glass of wine, mm-hmm. or some cocktail, that adds in the scenario as well.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times families just eat quickly and move on. Don't even think about what they're adding there. And they also need to appreciate whoever the spouse or whoever made it should appreciate them taking that time and effort to make that fabulous meal. Right?
Absolutely. And really, it does help with weight management because it takes our stomachs about, or our minds and our stomachs working together, about 20 minutes to register that we're full. So imagine when we're eating something real quick, whether we're on the go, on the road, just trying to eat something and move on to the next thing. We may have eaten it before 20 minutes has hit. We may have overeaten. But if you're mindfully eating, you're taking time, you're enjoying the food you're eating, you're really eating slowly, and you'll recognize when you're full sooner, so you're less likely to overeat.
I remember when I was growing up, Abigail, I don't know if they still do this, my parents emphasized, because I think it was emphasized at school, you've got to chew your food 32 times, or something like that.
Wow, yeah.
You know, before you swallow it, chew it 32 times. And I remember, what number are you at, Gary? I said, Mom, I don't remember counting that. That's a long time to chew that little
that
piece of steak
lot.
32 times.
That is a lot.
So I think they did that for a purpose, to make sure you grind it up before it gets to your gut. I
mean, yeah.
They're probably, I don't know if that helped or not, but I know that when we had a lot of visitors come to the house, they were always concerned. Why is your mom concerning about how often you chew? I don't know. It's part of something she learned at one of her educational meetings that she went to at school. Okay, then you had another. This article appeared 4 years ago, but it's probably definitely a top seller now. Beans, they're delicious, versatile, and full of nutrients. So that's a critical one, right?
Yeah, beans are one of those, like I was talking about with the nuts and seeds, beans pack a lot of nutrients in them as well. So they've got protein, they've got fiber, and they also have, you know, different antioxidants. And so for our fiber recommendations, for general fiber recommendations, they want adults to eat between 25 to 38 grams of fiber per day. One half cup serving, so think about a half a cup in your mind, it's pretty small, is 7 grams of fiber. So that's putting you on a good start. Just by eating one serving of beans.
That's awesome. Well, again, thank you, Abigail, for joining us today. If our listeners need to get a coach with you or the LSU Ag Center, the phone number is?
318-965-2326.
And your website is?
LSUAgCenter.com.
And it's a fabulous website. I've gone to it many times.
Great.
Got a lot of information there. So keep in touch. Thank you again for writing for The Best of Times. Be sure to pick up the current July-August issue of The Best of Times for her article. But look, you can go online and look for the past 8 years on our website for all our previous articles. You can just search for Abigail, and it'll pop up all of our articles for the past many, many, many years. So thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Don't forget to pick up your personal copy of The Best of Times at one of our 280 distribution locations. May God bless you and your family. God bless America. Have a great day and a great weekend. Thank you again for listening to our show. I'm Gary Kaligas, wishing you and yours the best of times, both today and every day. Have a great day.